All right, we're implementing some chord embellishments today, and we're just gonna take each shape in the cage system and fiddle around with them separately. You know, let's put some structure on it. So we play this open C chord, and then the most common embellishment right there is top string. Well, the most common embellishments, I should say. We'll start from the top string and work our way going down. So first string, you do pinky on the third string. And then that's, you know that. And then you got second string, same thing. So that should, you know, whether you do finger style or not, you know. Right, that's obvious. And then you also got first finger, I didn't write it on here. That's a major seven. Right underneath. Actually, there's no major sevens on the root at all. I mean, on this chart at all. But if you were to lift up first finger, that's a major seven to the chord. Did you know that?
I did, and I also thought that. Is that another major seven?
It's a nine.
Okay.
So you got. You got one. On the top two strings, you got one, two, three, four, five melody notes that could be on top of the chord. Right, you know. Just making it up, right? We'll put it in an actual song in a minute. Right? And then what about the third string? So I'm actually taking my second finger in this. But then doesn't that mean that you have this weird... Not for long, though. Besides that, I don't always have to hit the whole chord, right? You know.
So when you're getting your sixth here, you're buying a second that comes free with the deal, and then you got a weird chord of 1, 2, 3, 5.
Yeah, or I just only hit those top strings when I'm fiddling with the sixth, and I don't hit the fourth string. Try that, you know what I mean? Like once you hit the bass note, like on that, I only hit the bass note once every beat, once on the beginning of every one beat. Yeah, and I think you've probably instinctively done some of these over the course of your, right?
Yeah.
You just didn't necessarily know what the intervals were, but even more importantly, you might not have thought to take it to different keys, and that's what we're gonna do in a minute.
Okay.
So I suppose you could do the bass notes. Yeah, I was gonna ignore those. You've probably done those, right?
And am I right that if this was a minor pentatonic scale, that'd be your A shape, right?
You would actually, by the time you get to the major pentatonics, you'll call that a C shape.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is a C shape of a major pentatonic.
Yeah,
but if I was playing minor,
it would look like A. Yeah, I caution you against thinking that way for now. I will caution you in the future. Think however you want right now. But I think there's nothing there that you haven't seen before in terms of embellishments, right? Alright, so we're gonna go right to a G shape. I'll tell you why I'm skipping in a minute. And then let's take it from the top down. You got. I'm deliberately not using finger style because then you get into specifics about what string should I. It's a lot more scientific. You played that, right? You played stuff like. And then, you know, to play these. I use just finger one to play the middle strings. You seem pretty comfortable there, so without further ado, we're gonna. Two bars of C with embellishments and two bars of G, and let's maybe we could trade four bars each. Like, I'm going to demonstrate and then you do it. Something similar. Make up something. So, three, four. Wait, hang on. How am I counting? I'll count one, two, three, four. Wait. One, two, three. Yeah, so I was right. So, one, second time, I think if I can verbalize what you did differently is the two things I was going to recommend, which is you don't have to keep hitting the root. You can just let the root ring, mm-hmm. and then embellish the chord in between. Secondly, you don't have to strike all the strings. You just strike where you're embellishing.
Yeah.
And also, we're going to assume in this case that another rhythm guitar or bass guitar is playing. I guess for the purposes of right now, let me play bass, mm-hmm. and that frees you up even more. You don't have to hold down those roots.
So, one thing I found is I'm coming completely out of that G shape because I can get back into it. But is that okay, or do you want me to try to stay in the shape?
Oh no, yeah, good question. You can, by all means, lift your hand out of if it's constricting your embellishment. Yeah, definitely, okay. You can move your hand out of the chord shape. By all means. And that's going to be made even easier now that I'm going to play bass notes. Like, so you try it, but we're not going to trade. I'm going to play bass with you. One, two, one, two. You could even go further and think about the actual melodic. You're making like a counter melody. Let's assume that you're singing. Something else is happening here, right? And so, you're like we talked about before. You're in between playing just regular chords for a voice and making it sound more interesting. But that doesn't mean you're taking the place of the melody. You know, that's why this is sort of like a little unscientific. You're right. You're not actually making melodies, but it might help if you thought melodically.
Yeah, let me see if I got a song that's all full of C's and G's in here.
Oh yeah, good idea. Just do this. Just do the C and G a little more. Two bars each. I'm gonna play bass, but just think melodically. Actually, let me demonstrate. Can you play bass for me? Can you play like? And then you would go to G. Actually, you don't even play chords. Trying to make the melody have its own little. This is what pianists do. Pianists never sit there and just play C, E, and G, blink, 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 blink. Like, they never do that. Their hands are wandering, but yet they're not getting in the way. And guitarists, we don't always do that.
Right? Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
That's why I'm here.
That's what we're doing.
Because I'm playing C chords on a keyboard and it's boring.
You actually play keyboards too, or
I can
just mean you're making an analogy?
No, I'm making an analogy, but I can play a little keyboard, and it's always just like, all right, the left hand locks in these chords, and the right hand doodly doots.
Right.
But at least I have two hands to make me.
Right, that's right. All right, now your turn. Try and weave the line in and of itself. If when you have a great, have you ever had the opportunity to listen to a like individual tracks of your favorite album, for example. I know each track is like, or like maybe one of those old shows where they analyze and dissect a famous album. I saw one recently on Electric Ladyland from Jimi Hendrix.
Really, they pulled it all apart.
They pulled it apart, and they're in there with the engineer, and they have like all the different guitars and Little Wing, and and there's one where Hendrix plays bass a couple of songs, and like each track actually sounds cool, you know. Like,
yeah. So. I love those isolated bass lines you can get on the internet these days. They have
oh, that's right. They have, yeah.
Some of them are, you can't really, well, okay, but yeah, that's fine.
No, go ahead if you had something to contribute. But.
Well, just as when you pull the song apart, you really hear it. When it's all put together, you're almost not meant to hear it individually.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're doing.
It's coherent by itself.
There you go. So I'm going to play bass here. We still have our same sort of country feel, I guess. Like one, two, a one, two, three, four. Singer in a recording studio, and you know, we were the bassist and guitarist. Mm-hmm. If I could split myself up, you know, I would be like, wow, I really like what you guys did. And that person may never know that was completely improvised.
And then all of a sudden they're singing a melody.
Absolutely. So, now here's the critical step. We're going to take the same shapes, C and G, to a different key. And you're going to transfer all those intervals to that key.
That's great. You know, those are bar chords that I don't have down.
And it doesn't matter if you do. So just to get us completely out of C land, like I'm just going to take us up two whole steps to the key of E. All right. So you're going to play a C shape starting on the 4th fret. You got it. The root is on the 7th fret, 5th string, and the 2nd fret, 5th fret. 2nd string, 5th fret. It's easier to play it than it is to say it. And before we go any further with any other chords, let's just talk about little embellishments there. You got your root on the 5th string, and then you got let me refer to intervals now, so we can just refer to the chart. That's, you tell me, what intervals are those?
Third. Well, just second and a hammer on third.
Two and three, yeah. And then continue.
5 to 6.
Now you don't have to keep your finger locked in there. I'm gonna play bass. Besides, when you're in the key of E, you can use open string anyway. Right? You use. That's why it's a popular key for guitar. Use the open 5th, 6th string. So you don't even have to keep that pinky on the root there. You can go right to. So I did us a favor, not knowing, I wasn't gonna be nice, but it's apropos. Yeah, let that open E ring out though. Let me hear like, but I mean, let the open E ring out, and then. I should tell you the core little triad there is very sort of like where everything gets based off. The core triad is the 3, 5, and 1 on the 4th, 3rd, and 2nd string. Let me hear just that. Up one fret. Yeah.
That's a weird inversion, right? 3, 5, 1.
Yeah, very very handy. You ever play in drop D, for example? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let me just, you don't detune yourself, but people play drop D. And then that little inversion is really crud.
French hands, how that's called?
I don't know, I'm just making it up, but that little triad is very good. And you got all kinds of embellishments on there. We just did the 4th string, you did the 3rd string. So I'm gonna play bass. Don't worry about the low notes. Just do like off that triad and off the top string. Like, let's work our way down for a second. Only do the, I'm not being clear here. Only do the triad plus the top string. You got four notes. Watch. So my intervals are from bottom to top. 3, 5, 1, 3. Let me hear that. Yep, and I'm gonna embellish every single one of those. Like that. You try from the top down. So you're gonna play 5, 3, 2, 1, 6, 5, and then that one you can kind of, yeah. And then do it with strumming the rest of the chord-ish. Like, can you do each one while you strum, like, strum the whole chord except for the bass note? I'll get the bass notes. There you go. Good. And do that, embellish, screw around with that, and I'm gonna play the bass notes. Like, 3, 4.
I wish I had my electric guitar with a narrower fretboard.
I see, yeah. But it's good. And then you could get those lower ones. But for now, let's stay on the top. Because most of the time, your embellishments, your melodic embellishments, are going to be on the top strings.
Unless you have the solo of the bass player.
Because let's face it, if you're a solo guitarist, you can't float on top of somebody else, but you also have lots of flexibility. Once you get the chord sound, if you're in the key of E, the listener has heard that. And you just go back to it. It doesn't mean you can't do this thing we're doing if there's no accompaniment. It just means you can do it intermittently. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Especially in this case, you get that low E string ring. But you have even more flexibility when there's a band behind you with a bassist or rhythm guitarist or something. All right.
But you sort of establish a feeling of E, and then you can go away from it and it's still there.
Yeah.
It lasts. Yeah.
So in this case, I'm going to be your bass player. 2, 3, 4. Make it easier and say, just focus on the upper four strings. Don't worry about pinky in this case, because it's kind of a pain in the neck. Yeah, embellish just, in fact, you do it for me. Give me a bass line. Just go, all right, so watch. Just making simple, you don't have to do a lot. We're obviously in the course of a lesson, you're wanting to explore big amounts of territory in a small amount of time, but during real life you don't have to. You can make a lot of music with just a few embellishments. Try a little bit. 2, 3, 4. Good. But also strum that little triad too as well, like a here. We're just giving you ideas, of course, right? And I'm deliberately not talking about finger style. You can do finger style. But I find that I can't teach it very well because I lose what pattern I'm supposed to be on.
Well, that one song that I transcribed was killing me because it had some chordal embellishments at finger style, and it forced me into that chord, that C shape of an E chord, and it was killing. It's like everything hard all at once.
I see. All right, we're gonna move on. The next, we're not gonna move on with the shapes. We're still on C and G, but we haven't done the G yet. If we transpose the G, what chord is that at the fourth fret?
Well, G, A, B flat.
Almost. What's a half step among friends?
It's a B.
It's a B, yeah. And I don't know how your music theory is, but C and G is 1 and 5, mm-hmm. and so we moved it to the key of E, so E and B is 1 and 5.
Got it.
So here's our B. And then, assuming you have a bass player or something, you can just embellish the top four strings by barring the fourth fret on strings 4, 3, and 2. Good, you got it, you're there already. Put the two together. So
two bars of each.
Two bars of E and two bars of B. You got it. 2, 3, 4. Starting with E, yeah. Actually, you want me to make it four bars each for now so you have more time to fiddle on each one?
Mm-hmm.
Four bars each. 2, 3, 4. There that I can't quite place. It'd be perfect for this. And when you get back to the one, and then it, you get back to the one, and it goes, good time. Whatever that song is on the radio that was big for. Oh man, it'd be perfect for this. It's just 1 and 5.
It was that Daft Punk song from like 2 summers ago.
What was it? Daft Punk?
Yeah.
I'm glad you remember what I'm talking about. It seems like it's only 1 and 5, you know.
And as lost as you get, if you find that root on the right. Oh, no, no, that's a different one. That's,
I'm sorry.
That's Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines?
Yeah, that's kind of a weird song.
Go back and find what key that is and see if any of these work. But I'm sorry, I cut you off on that. What were you saying?
Well, I feel like as lost as you get, if you figure out when the chord changes and you land that root at the right time, all is forgiven.
Yeah.
Right. All whatever flubs you make on the way, you land that root on the one, and you're back in order. And no, and so hearing those changes, like as soon as I'm like, there's a, I'm gonna get.
Or up
get
one
back
fret.
To it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Good. Good. How about you do rhythm guitar for a minute? So these were doing bass lines. It doesn't matter whether it's a bass and you. Or whether it's bass, rhythm guitar, and you're
yeah.
still providing. It's a different texture.
Yeah.
All right. So you're just gonna play two bars of E, and then two bars of B. 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, here we go. play around with. There's no real rules to it. I hope you feel like you have enough ammunition to fiddle around with those.
I got some things to practice. It feels like once you release your hand out of the shape a little bit, you're just back in the scales. And it's the major pentatonics that, like I said, I don't really have them yet. But I'm trying to figure out to what extent, like, you lock down the shape, and it's really just a doo-la-doo in the shape, and to an extent you just...
It's a judgment call based on what else is happening in the song. Yeah. If you're the only harmonic instrument, we just demonstrated where there was a rhythm guitar, mm-hmm. So you can be a lot more free there.
And there's no point trying to hold the shape and contort your way through the scale.
Because you already have someone else doing it.
Right, but if it's you alone, you have to get more part of the chord.
You have to maintain part of the chord. That's what I was saying. Maybe strum, embellish and strum at the same time. And don't worry so much about. And you can be a lot. There's two sides of it. When there's another guitarist, you can be more active with the embellishments. When it's only you, you have to hold down more of the chord. Yes, but you can also afford to be a lot less active with the movement of the embellishments. Because you're the only one playing.
And really, it doesn't take much. I mean, you get one nice little turn of phrase in a song that goes over and over again.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what will happen is, over the course of working with these, you'll be able to embellish all the way up and down. Demonstrating on E. I suppose we should... Yeah, all right, okay. I'll just... I'm trying to be deliberate about working my way up the neck. It's a little bit forced, but...
But I see what you're doing, because in every shape has embellishments that fit it more easily.
Yeah.
So if I'm always stuck in...
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And you know what? The G shape is huge. Some are more common just in general than others. Like, the G shape is hugely common.
Oh, because look.
Yeah, because it's an easy bar, and so many guitarists will... Combine the E and the A shapes. You know, they'll just go. I'm sorry, I just said E and A, I meant G and A. This little triad played with finger one for the G shape, but then you put three there and you're back at the A shape. Is that enough for now? We didn't go to the other shapes at all.
No, that's plenty. I'm just wondering how to practice it.
How to practice it, but like, either. Do you have any means of, good question, do you have any means of getting a bass line generated for yourself, like a band in a box, or what do you have?
All kinds of stuff. I have an amp that plays all kinds of backing tracks. I also found a ton of them on the internet.
Backing tracks, perfect.
And I have a looper that I can play my own.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about minor, we're only doing major chords right now. We have to still do minors.
But a 1 and a 5 is a piece of cake. I can put that in some. I have a little stomp box kind of loop.
That would be one way to do it. To do just two major chords, or even 1, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. Make sure you give yourself plenty of time on each chord, because you don't want to drive yourself nuts. But yeah, just put it into practice, just like we did. Like, be your own bass player, be your own rhythm guitarist, or even record the loop, so you can. Get the effect of, do it in different ways, like do just the bass line or do the actual rhythm guitar, so you have different effects or different contexts in which to practice it. As far as putting it in a song goes, now you can also do that too for practice. Like, you pulled out Rolling Stones' No Expectations. Let's play around with that for a second. Take me station. Right, you're finding the melody right within the shape. Nice. Take I might do... for the listener, you who are listening, what those chords were. It's C, G, and F, but the process is there. If you were the only accompanist, or you're accompanying yourself at like a coffee house or something, and you did that for a solo, that's pretty cool. Nothing fancy, but it sounds nice. With the bass note, like do the whole chord. Let me go back. Like, ring out the lowest. Also, keep in mind you, I'm using a pick too. So if you're doing finger style, that's fine. You can pinch them all. Like,
I'm gonna just pretend I'm doing.
Like you do finger style. Do four notes at once. And then as long as that bass note is ringing out, like, don't put your thumb on it to mute it. Like, let it ring. Like, can you hear that? Like, this bass note is ringing out the whole time. Listen. And I'm in no hurry, because I know that's right, so you don't have to worry about hitting a lot of stuff. Yes, nice. And so you can keep the low bit ringing while embellishing the upper bit. Or if you're using a pick, then... And then, so that's another way to practice. You put in an actual song. But keep in mind, I'm not recommending you have to play the melody. Embellish it at will. Like, start with the melody. Virtually every album you own at home, mm-hmm. maybe, depending on, you know, your record collection. It might not be in the Saturday Night Fever, actually it probably is, the disco stuff. Those guys to play a lot of small chords as you dig deeper. I can't believe I just said that, because if it was... Yeah, if it was some kind of... Yeah, then it's just little triads and mm-hmm. things, embellishments all over the place.
Yeah. That crazy D shape that you can only get three strings on anyways.
Yeah. So good job on that. That gives you a wealth of
stuff
to do.
That gives me some stuff to work on.